Hi, everybody. This is Alexis Neely, and this is a very important evolutionary entrepreneur interview for you because we talk a lot about being evolutionaries here at Eyes Wide Open Life, and the reality is that most of us have not gotten training, real training, on what it really means to live in the new paradigm. And part of that is because most of us don't have any idea what the new paradigm is, nor could we, because it's new. It's on the frontier. It's at the edge. And most of us are not willing to live enough at the edge without a lot of guidance and support to really feel what that is. But Hira Boga, I believe, is a woman who is and has so much to teach us about this new paradigm. And so I'd like you to meet her today. Hira, say hi to everybody.
Hi, everybody, and hi, Alexis. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much for bringing this work to the world, because the one thing that I'm coming across more than anything that we need to learn in order to really live the evolutionary life, really live and be in business in this new paradigm, is something that I'm calling truth-telling. And you're calling it sovereignty, but I think that they are the same things. And rather than asking you the same question that I've asked everyone as part of the Evolutionary Entrepreneur Interview Series, I want to talk about this concept of sovereignty and truth-telling, because I believe it's at the foundation and the core of everything. And I want to understand if we are on the same page about that, and if we are, how we can help people today begin to live more free, live more sovereign, live more in truth, and in reality, which is part of the new paradigm.
Well, sovereignty is a quality of your soul. And because it's a quality of your soul, every single one of us already has it within us. It's not something we have to strive for. It's not something that somebody else gives to us. It's something that we have within us. And the way to experience it, just as, you know, exactly the way you experience truth, is by turning inward to connect with that quality of truth, that quality of sovereignty on the inside. And because we live in relationship to the world around us, we live within our own personal ecology, which is embedded and nested in larger ecologies, then at every level of connection, we also encountering challenges to our sovereignty, and we are encountering the sovereignty of others where our sovereignty meets somebody else's sovereignty. And what does that mean to live in a world and do business in a world in which we are really owning our own sovereign selves, our own sovereign lives, and making room and respecting the sovereignty of others? When we do that, we start to come into harmony with wholeness, and we start to do business and do life from this awareness of being a fractal of wholeness, in the sense that we have wholeness within us, and we contribute to the wholeness that is all that is.
Yeah. Well, just hearing you say those words and really break this down for me brings me into a place of calm. Partially it's your voice. Every time I hear your voice here, my body relaxes. And I'm so grateful for that. But it's also that when I speak about truth, what I'm really talking about is what you just said. And you just have a way of explaining it that makes it really, I think, actionable for people to know, okay, well, how do I be in the truth? Well, what Hira is saying is that you go within, and first you discover what's true for you so that you can take personal responsibility and ownership for your life, and then you can begin to interact with people from a place of wholeness, from a place of truth, honesty, reality, and in knowing that they, too, are taking ownership and personal responsibility for their truth and their life. And you begin to have, in my experience, what's happening now that this is starting to really happen in my body and in the bodies of the people around me, where we're really taking personal responsibility at a deeper level than we ever have before, moving beyond blame and shame and guilt and fear. And I want to hear about how those fit into the sovereignty and what happens if you are feeling like you're feeling really, you know, in your sovereignty and yet you're bumping up against people who are not, and how to work with that would be really helpful. Mm-hmm. But I feel like now that it's starting to happen, the conversations, the communication that we're having as a community is fundamentally different and feels so much better.
Yeah. It just feels as though we've peeled back those layers of social conditioning that have told us for centuries, first of all, how we are supposed to be depending on our race, our gender, our class, our social standing, but also how we are supposed to be in business. You know, there has been a particular sort of paradigm of business that started post-industrial revolution, and that has been very patriarchal, top-down, hierarchical. Has had certain kinds of values that it has espoused in the world, and yet, to me, business is a sacred path. You know, it offers creative freedom. It offers us the ability to serve wholeness, to make a right livelihood, to enhance our own personal and spiritual growth, to have community and connection, and to express sovereignty in the world. And it requires us to develop. I mean, we put our livelihood on the line, and we start to see how, by living our spiritual principles, we can actually make a living, a really good living, and make a huge difference in the world and help to shape the world in which we want to live.
Yeah.
It's so exciting. And, you know, to come back to your question about how do you deal with guilt and shame and fear and these emotions, well, emotions, from my perspective, are communication from your body.
Yeah.
So it's always your body saying to you, hey, pay attention. Something is going on here. I am responding to something, and I want you to listen to me.
Yeah.
Those, and they're also energy. Emotions are energy. So if you approach them in a spirit of curiosity and exploration and go, hey, tell me what's going on for you. And let me experience this energy. Let me give you lots of permission for this energy to flow. Then it doesn't matter what the emotion is. You can be in the most intense fear. And if you allow that energy of fear to flow, it will begin to cleanse and clear whatever is in the way. And that energy, because energy naturally moves, that's its nature, will eventually change to something else. I think a lot of what happens and a lot of why people get stuck in these emotions is partly because there may be components of that emotional energy that are not yours. So if, for example, you know, I'll tell you a story about this. I was in India for 6 weeks one Christmas, and I got back just before New Year's Day. And because I'd been gone for so long, I had, you know, I needed all kinds of groceries and things for my house that I had to go shopping for. So I went into my local warehouse store, and I walked in feeling really clear and grounded and present and full of love. And 2 minutes later, I just felt this intense grief. Like I just wanted to lie down on the floor and curl up in a ball and cry. And I thought, whoa, what is this? You know, this doesn't feel like me. Now, it was really dramatic, and often we don't experience it so dramatically. But because I had been in a completely different culture, I was really experiencing what it feels like to be in this culture post-Christmas, when people are just, you know, they're dealing with all their disappointments over the holiday season and all the expectations that didn't happen and all the sadness about loss of community and loss of family and loss of love and the money they spent that they didn't have and, you know, whatever else it was. I felt so overwhelmed by it, and I had to just stop and clean everybody out of my space.
And how then did I you could, do that?
Well, I use energy technologies to do that, you know. So I grounded and centered myself. I moved. I became very conscious of where the edge of my energy field was, and defined it really clearly, and then commanded all the energy that wasn't mine in my energy field to leave and move outside of my boundary. And then I strengthened my boundary. I made it stronger and more flexible. And I filled my own energy field, which is my personal ecology, with the qualities of my soul, with love, with tenderness, with appreciation, with gratitude, with strength, with courage, with the things that I felt I really needed in that moment. And then I could bless the place. I could do what I do, which I call sacred activism, you know, which was then grounding the whole place and bringing love and bringing those qualities into that whole store. And once I was able to do that, then I was no longer experiencing that overwhelming sense of grief that wasn't mine. You know, so I think part of why people get stuck is because it's hard to recognize what is yours and what is not. Many of us who are creative are really sensitive, and we absorb energies from our ambient environment, and we don't know that we've absorbed them, or we are holding in our bodies, you know, the grief of a father or the guilt of a mother
or even coworkers,
pain.
Right?
Absolutely, or colleagues, or clients. You know, if you work with clients all day long, and if you don't take the time to clean out between client sessions, you are going to feel like a holding tank.
Yeah.
So
I remember. I want to just share a quick story about this as well, here. I remember about 2.5 years ago, maybe whenever it was like the height of the economic, you know, with fear that was out in the world, all of a sudden, now my businesses, that year, whenever this was, it was making well more than $1 million that year, and we were doing great. And I remember feeling mortal fear, like the world was coming to the end, all my clients were going to stop paying me, just immense total fear, and I recognized in that time, it took me a while, though. You know, it was not like an overnight thing. It was like a couple days where I was really with this fear, and I recognized this is not my fear.
Yeah.
But I didn't really know how to deal with that. And I feel like I took that fear, and I put it out into my business.
Yes.
And then also, I think that my team members had a lot of fear.
Yes.
And whether I put it on them or they put it on me, we were feeding it together.
Yes.
And then our company was moving from a place of fear. And it still made money, but it felt terrible. It was so painful that ultimately I couldn't go on that way. And I didn't know what to do about it at the time because I hadn't come across your work. I had a sense that it had to do with personal responsibility, doing my own work, but I didn't even really know what that meant. And so this is some of what you have put together in your program that you have called How to Rule Your World. Is that right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I've taught this work for, over 30 years. And I just see how it changes people's lives.
Yeah.
Because these are skills that we should have learned in kindergarten.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, these are the skills that we should have been taught when we were taught to say please and thank you and wipe their noses instead of blowing them on the carpet kind of thing.
Yeah.
But nobody teaches them to us, and yet they're absolutely fundamental life skills. And for somebody who is an entrepreneur, if you're running a business, you have to know this because it's going to affect the quality of your business. It's going to affect the quality of your life. and it's going to affect your effectiveness. You can be successful, just like you described in this wonderful story you just told.
Yes.
You know, you can be making $1 million and yet feel just horrible, and it becomes not sustainable.
Completely. I mean, this is what I talk about. People ask me, what do you mean by sustainable business in this context, Alexis? Because that's, you know, what I'm really talking about is how to build a sustainable, profitable business as a creative entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And really, or really not even just a creative entrepreneur. Really, to me, if you're an entrepreneur, you are by your nature. There's some part of you that's creative and wants to really be expressed.
Absolutely.
And it's about this part. It's about it not just making money, but really feeling good. And in order to do that, these tools that we're talking about today are the key. And the first one of these tools is the awareness that Hero talked about, to know when it is your stuff and when it is not your stuff. And if it is your stuff, how to work with it. And if it's not your stuff, how to work with it. And so I wonder, in How to Rule Your World, do you give people tools for both pieces of it? If it is your stuff, how to work with it, and if it's not your stuff, how
absolutely.
To work with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the thing is that within the program, there are basic foundational tools for getting present. And part of getting present is separating out what is not your stuff from what is your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And part of being present is that the more present you are, the more clearly you can identify what is yours and what is not, and then the more effectively you can deal with both components of that.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you can't do anything with energy that's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do anything with it. You
yeah.
know, you can't process it, you can't integrate it. All you can do is release it. You
yeah.
can return it to the general supply. You don't even have to return it to the person it came from. You can simply return it to the universal supply and fill the space that it occupied with your own presence. Because what energy that is not yours does is it interrupts the flow of your own soul's presence in your body and in your energy field.
Okay, so I need to take a step back, because I know a lot of people who follow me are not, they would not consider themselves right brain, creative, spiritual people. They would
mm-hmm.
consider themselves left brain, logical,
mm-hmm.
you know, very kind of down to business people. And they might be hearing this and saying, I need a practical application here. So mm-hmm. let's imagine that you are in a conflict with someone in your business, whether
mm-hmm.
it is a team member or a spouse.
Mm-hmm.
How do I know if this conflict is due to my energy or something happening for me, or something happening for them? Does it matter? And what do I do about it?
Okay. So in this hypothetical situation, say you have an office manager and you have a conflict with this office manager.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I would do is I would sit down and I would connect with myself and I would make separations between us. Which means that I would give back to my office manager all of his or her energy, and I would take back from the office manager all of my energy.
Mm-hmm.
When you work really closely together with somebody, it's really easy to get merged. And unless you have a daily practice of separating from everybody and everything, you're going to get merged. And the paradox is that to truly unite, to truly feel one with everything around you, you have to be able to first separate. So that's the first thing that I would do, is I would separate my energy from theirs. And
do they have to participate in that?
Well, it's helpful if they do, but no, this is your own practice. This is your sovereignty. This is how you reestablish your sovereignty. And in any dynamic, in any relationship, if one person changes, the whole relationship changes.
Yes.
That's the nature of it, right?
Yes.
So that's the first thing that I would do. And then I would take back, I would look at, what have I projected onto this person? If I find myself judging or criticizing or complaining about my office manager, chances are I am taking something internal and projecting it onto them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference between judgment and discernment. So I can see, for example, I can use my discernment and say, okay, She has been late, you know, 5 times in the last 2 weeks. When I have given her an opportunity to talk about why she's been late, she's made what sound like excuses to me. And so there's something else going on. You know, it's not what she is saying is happening. There's something else going on.
Mm-hmm.
But if I start going into judgment about that, you know, she's a terrible person. What's wrong with her? You know, why isn't she doing her job properly? Am I going to have to fire her? Then I'm starting to spin stories about.
Right. So it's really about again, staying in truth, which is fact.
Yeah.
That
it's staying
fact.
Present.
No, yeah, no story, just real fact. Like
it's
she was late.
Staying
just,
present.
Yeah.
You bet. It's staying present. And then I would connect to her soul. I would just sit there and I would connect to her soul. And for those of you who are left-brained and go, you know, I don't believe in a soul, you don't have to believe in the soul. All you need to know is that, I mean, you know that you can experience somebody's presence. You have a felt sense of who that person is from their presence.
Yeah.
So tune in to what you know is their essential self, beyond whatever their drama is and your drama is. And beyond all of that, there is always a place where you can simply heart-to-heart connect to somebody's essential self, and you know that that essential self is precious and sacred and good.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So you connect to that.
To the truth.
And to that essence.
Yeah.
I mean, there is also truth to our distortions, you know.
Yeah.
It's not that the essential self is pure and the rest of us is impure.
Yeah.
Because that's creating another division and another fragmentation.
Yeah.
But it's saying there, I can always come back to this center in myself that is whole.
Mm-hmm.
And from that wholeness, I can see with love the wholeness of this other person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's bringing love into that situation.
And
I'm
sorry to cut you off, but I need people to know that this is what it means to live from a place of love. You can see this little small piece Hero has given you. And Hero, I'm going to actually ask you not to give the rest of it because I want people to get your course.
Mm-hmm.
And I see that I'm 6 minutes late for another call, so I want to get to that. But before I do, I want people to know this is what it means to live from love, not fear. What Hero just gave you, if you just do that piece before entering into an interaction with someone, you will change every single one of your relationships in a way that you can create anything that you want in this world and everything that you want in this world because people will want to be around you. It will feel so clean and so good to be around you that even when you're in conflict with someone, they will want to be around you. And that is what Hero is teaching you to do. And so if your mind is saying to you, this is too woo-woo, this is too out there, it's not. That's just a story that your mind is telling you. It's actually an integral part of the new paradigm that's emerging. And if you don't learn these tools the same way that you learned your profession or your trade, you're going to find yourself left behind and wondering what happened. And you might already begin to be feeling that. And if you are the creative already, right brain type, well, you know that this is it. So here's what we're going to do. Hero, I absolutely love you.
Thank
you. Completely, totally love you. Thank you so, so, so much for speaking about this so clearly and helping people see so clearly just how to, you know, really how to incorporate this into their lives. And you created a 200-page playbook that literally guides people through these exercises and doing this with themselves. Is that right?
Yes, and there are also 8 hours of audio. So the
great.
Whole playbook is also in audio format.
Oh,
and
great.
There are many guided meditations that can help you go through these processes so you don't have to do them alone. I just want to say, you know, this is the most practical work that I know. It is the most practical, effective stuff that I know.
Mm. Yes. I love that reframe. Thank you for that because it truly is. And if we don't see it that way, it's just because our mind is a little bit afraid of it because it does help to, and correct me if I'm wrong, it really does help you get beyond the mind that has ruled your life for all of these years that doesn't have all the answers. It's been very good, and it is very good at many things, But this part needs support from the body and the soul.
Yeah.
And that's really what Hero is teaching you to tap into here. So here's what I'm going to say. We're going to have a link on this page, wherever you're listening to this. There's a link. Just click on it and then get Hero's course. She's delivering it to you in multiple formats, audio and in writing, so that however you learn best, you'll be able to incorporate this. And literally, it sounds like block off 15, 20 minutes a day and just listen to the audios. Would you recommend that that's how they use this course, or
Each person is, I mean, you need to know what your own learning style is. Consistency is key.
Right.
It's better if you listen for 15 or work with it for 15 minutes a day than if you work with it, you know, for 3 hours one day and then never look at it again, you know. So these are practices, and like any practice, the more consistently you do them, the more they become part of you. It's not the kind of thing that you can learn just by thinking about it or by reading about it. It's the kind of thing that you take into yourself and put into practice in your life. And a lot of what is in this program are suggestions for things to explore, ways to explore in your day-to-day business, in your day-to-day life. So the more you do that, the more you'll get out of it.
Yes, and do it on your schedule and really, really what works for you, recognizing that this is a lifelong journey and this course is the foundation of that. And so, Hero, thank you. I'm so glad that we persisted, and it's perfect that it's 11:11 a.m. right now for us to say goodbye and just know that I'm absolutely in love with how you're being in the world and what you're bringing to all of us, and so that we can really begin to live this new paradigm that begins with truth, sovereignty, personal responsibility, and through that, you'll experience true freedom beyond any limited notion of financial freedom, true freedom at the soul level, and your day-to-day life will feel amazing, even when circumstances around you might suggest that they shouldn't. You'll realize that they're just circumstances. And the reality is what's happening inside of you. And you'll have tools to really feel great at that level, which is the core level. So, Hero, thank you so much.
Thank you, Alexis. I am so honored to be part of this. Bye-bye.
And we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Yes.